What we've also done is provide so much data, this ocean of data,
yes,
is that if a fleet is not managing to a level that they need to, sometimes that data can become so complex,
yes,
that we are ignoring some of the data. And I want to stress very quickly that there are plaintiff attorneys that have interns that know more about these products than the product managers that build them. So,
that's,
you know,
a great point.
And I've really tried to put myself in a position is that if we can take this data and make it manageable and simple for the fleets, yes, then there's an opportunity to be incredibly successful.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast Caution Wide Right, brought to you by Compliance Navigation Specialist. I'm Luke, your host, and today we're going to explore the uses of telematics data for fleet safety, insurance underwriting, FMCSA studies, and so much more. My guest today is Jim Angel, Vice President of Telematics Partners at SpeedGauge, a driving analytics and performance company. Jim has 20 plus years in the transportation industry, from Director of Transportation at Redmond Building Products, Director of Safety and Compliance Solutions at PeopleNet, Vice President of Video Intelligence and Video Telematics at both Trimble Transportation and E-Road, and so much more. And so his wealth of knowledge on this subject is awesome. So Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Luke. Appreciate it very much.
And so before we dive in and chatting about SpeedGauge and all the data analytics of everything, let's discuss a bit about your career. What first got you into the transportation industry at the beginning?
Oh, goodness. So believe it or not, out in LA college, I worked the JCPenney's dock loading and unloading trailers, even some rail cars at times. Actually became a Teamsters driver out there for a short time, learned how to drive a truck out there. So I was out there during college, 4 years, moved to Texas. My first transportation experience in Texas was the opportunity to be an agent. And there's probably enough old timers out there that remember Mistletoe Express. But I was an agent for them. We were package and up to 250 pound delivery service, mostly intrastate in Texas.
Yeah.
So actually ended up building that up to serving about 27 counties in Texas and having a couple of line haul tractor trailers and about 27 other delivery type vehicles, 26,000 pounds down to one ton step van. And then unfortunately went through the bankruptcy of Mistletoe, where they kind of left all us agents hanging out to dry. then opened the Arkansas Freightways Terminal in Bryan, Texas, as they were growing and expanding. Made a jump for financial reasons over to Transcon. They, of course, were a union carrier, so that usually carried through on management wages being a little bit higher as well. But went through another bankruptcy.
Oh, man.
And then ended up on the private side. My number one customer at the time, Alenco Windows, which was owned by Redmond Building Products, had their own private fleet. So I was operations director there for about 9 years, and then followed my old boss to Dallas, Texas for Atrium Window and Door. Went to work for Ryder Logistics because they owned that contract at that time. Then actually had a stint with Stevens Transport as their director of rail services, intermodal.
Wow.
That was the first experience I had with intermodal. And that was quite interesting, quite busy. And lo and behold, my old boss called me back and asked me if I'd come take the Atrium fleet back private. So he made a decision to move it back away from Ryder. And we kind of built that fleet from the ground up, had to buy trucks. And that was my last fleet experience.
Right.
It was about 800 heavy and about 3,000 other types of vehicles. If memory serves me correctly, we had about 16 distribution and manufacturing facilities nationwide. And I was responsible for the transportation division for all of those. It was then that I started using the PeopleNet telematics product. And we were pretty creative with what we did with that data. And the folks at PeopleNet, namely Ron Kinesny and Brian McLaughlin, and leadership team at that time, offered me an opportunity to come on that side of the fence and kind of share some of the things that we'd built using the PeopleNet telematics. So I moved into the product department there, safety and compliance director of safety products. And that, and I want to point this out as that story, I was then became the second telematics partner for a little company named Speed Gauge that was just getting started.
That's awesome.
So Jonathan and Bob Reed and Chris, the founders of Speed Gauge. We helped get their product launched. We made it a part of our safety and performance bundle while I was at PeopleNet. So basically everybody got it. And at that time, that was the cat's meow for being able to monitor posted speed with drivers.
Hi, my name's Speedio Matters, and I can make sure you never hear from Miss Stickler again. With me and Speed Gauge out on the road with your drivers, you can monitor your trucks according to posted local speed limits on any road in North America. Sure, we all know that speeding can lead to crashes and accidents, and that slower speeds improve fuel economy and reduce maintenance costs. With Speed Gauge integrated into your GPS system, you can monitor all locations for all drivers all the time. That means we can help you save money and improve safety all the time. But the real value of Speed Gauge is rolling up and analyzing all this data so you can know how your fleet is trending over time in a wide variety of situations, locations, and speed limits.
So I was there through the Trimble acquisition. I got an opportunity to be recruited by, at that time, DriveCam, was their general manager of the transportation division to help them get launched in the heavy truck. I was there for their name change when they moved to over to Lytics. And then lo and behold, I got a call back from Brian at Trimble and asked me if I wanted to build a video intelligence solution from the ground up there. Wow. And admittedly, that's been probably the most fun I've had in my career, because we operated as this little tiny startup in a very big company and delivered a product in 11 months time, from back office to hardware to firmware, and quickly became the third largest video provider in the industry. Wow. Second only to Lytics and SmartDrive at that time, and became very impactful in that video intelligence world. And had the opportunity then a few years later to help EROAD launch their dash cam. Of course, they're a New Zealand company trying to get their feet wet in the U.S. Was there for a couple of years, and that brings me to where I am today. It was a really cool opportunity to join Jonathan's team. As you said, full circle over a decade later, just try to help grow that business. And, you know, our business today it's kind of threefold. So we absolutely help the fleets out by providing what we call our safety center, which helps them monitor their posted speed on their drivers and really look for repetitive driving behavior that, you know, may or may not be conducive to that driver having the largest odds to have that next accident, right? Right. Secondary to that, we have a wholesale division, our annotations division, that can provide the posted speed data to, quite honestly, any type of company, third-party software companies that are providing services to the industry, even the telematics provider, which a couple of our partners choose to use our data, and then they build the UI of how they display a driver scorecard or something like that. Yeah. And then last but not least, our insurance side of the business is really growing. Yes. Insurance quickly recognized that monitoring speed has a very, very positive impact on reduction of accidents and reduction of claims, because if you can keep your speed down, believe it or not, the law of physics comes in. And if you do have an impact, it's usually lesser of a severity. And that keeps you away from things like injuries and fatalities, which can, you know, really take a toll on a company.
And I do want to break down each of those as we go. I am curious, though, from the beginning with your background, you know, from safety and compliance, video technology. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has changed over the years. I mean, eventually ELDs and that becoming a thing in 2017, 18, when they were rolling it out. But I'm curious from the beginning to today, how has fleet safety and the technology involved changed over those years?
I'm going to be real careful how I answer this because I have, unfortunately, become a little bit skeptical about some of the things that we've provided. And trust me, the companies that are providing solutions today are doing this all in the name of safety.
Correct.
But when that's your number one focus, you want to continue to enhance your product to bring more things forward to help the fleet reduce risk and keep their drivers safe, correct?
Exactly.
Now, all of that said, what we've also done is provide so much data, this ocean of data.
Yes.
Is that if a fleet is not managing to a level that they need to, sometimes that data can become so complex.
Yes.
That we are ignoring some of the data. And I want to stress very quickly that there are plaintiff attorneys that have interns that know more about these products than the product managers that build them. So,
that's,
you know,
a great point.
And I've really tried to put myself in a position is that if we can take this data and make it manageable and simple for the fleets, yes, then there's an opportunity to be incredibly successful. Now, the other side of that, though, is still, you have to want to do this. Nothing comes with the magic key, right?
I turned
cameras on. I've got AI. I've got all of this. Well, that's great. Well, with AI, you just turned on about 30 more different things that you need to watch.
Yep.
Right? So it's all good. It's all great information. It can absolutely help in changing and monitoring a driver's behavior to make them the best that they can be, right?
Yes.
But transportation is also a low margin business and a very low overhead business. And if you don't have the amount of people to take care of this ocean of data, then you have to be very, very cautious. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons why when I get asked the question of what's the one thing I can focus on, I do truly believe this, and it's not just because I work there. But monitoring speed is the one thing that you can monitor that controls a tremendous amount of other things. If your drivers are going not just posted speed, but if they are driving the speed for conditions, I think that's very important.
Yes.
So when you have weather, when you have bad roads, when you have construction, if they are driving those speeds, then it takes care of all of a sudden you have less video events. You have less exposure. You have less exposure to violations because you're not getting pulled over for speeding. I mean, there's so many things that can be put under that umbrella.
Yes.
If you pay a lot of attention and focus in that area, you can make a huge impact. And we've seen that with test fleets that we've done. And as you're aware, I'll be in Pennsylvania tomorrow on part of a panel that we've taken the time to research a brand new fleet, engages with Speed Gauge and their insurance company. Yeah. So not only were you monitoring how that fleet has done, but how it is impacting their insurance claims and their accident ratio and things like
that. That's awesome.
And it's all been amazing to see that data. So I'm really looking forward to that full presentation tomorrow at Pacific Motor Trucking Association. I believe we're in Carlisle, Pennsylvania tomorrow. So,
yeah, I mean, that's exciting. And you make a great point. You know, data is one piece. FMCSA, the government, the regulations, they're all focused on fleet safety. It makes sense because trucks are big and we're talking to professional drivers. This isn't everyday drivers. These are professionals that, you know, these are the people that you sort of can sort of focus on a little bit. But like you said, it's small margins, and you got to deal with the balance of, okay, do I pay for all the technology? Does that make me safe? or, you know, again, it's how you use it. And so I am curious, you know, I mean, you touched on a lot there. And so let's chat about the insurance piece of it. You know, here at CNS, you know, we have a insurance, CNS insurance as well, where we help companies. And, you know, we dive into CAB scores, CAB scores. And there's a lot of, you know, FMCSA data, crash data, other information, safety data, that's all incorporated in that. I'm curious with SpeedGauge and the data that you guys have there as well, you're providing that information to underwriters and giving them more information to look at to sort of gauge a company for their insurance. I'm curious, how do underwriters look at this data and utilizing it and you know, making sure a fleet is safe for when they do with pricing?
Yeah, so a few years back when Jonathan really started working with the underwriters, we actually built it's 75 different data points that we collect that then, depending on the company, they utilize that data to their analytics. And I'm sure they're, you know, comparing that to their claims data and things like that. But right. We take it down to a level that quite honestly, nobody else does. We, you know, there's, I think that if, and this is an area where I'm not the best in the world, but if I remember correctly, there are 8 types of standard road segments. And that goes from being a highway, rural, local, all that good stuff. Well, we take that down to a level that we report in that underwriting download. We report the minutes and the miles on every type of road segment. We report daytime and nighttime hours. We report the radius of operation. So they've got a home terminal, and insurance has a lot to do with Mr. Trucking Company. What is your delivery area? And a lot of times it's 150 miles. We're a local delivery service, or we're an interstate service. Well, we report on this, the radius of miles outside their hub operation. Yep. We also report on miles by state so that they know, for example, you've all heard the term judicial hellhole, where there are states that are absolutely not as pro defense trucking as plaintiff pro for trucking. And if you operate a tremendous amount in those states, underwriting can look at that to know that your financial exposure in case of an accident is absolutely greater there than, say, next door in another state. So we're reporting on that. And what's also very important to an insurance company is when they say that we're deployed 100% with this ELD or this camera system, we can report on whether or not, you know, did we get mileage from that truck that week? Or did the policy state that you have 100 vehicles, but hey, we're getting data for 103. So, you know, and I'm not saying that anybody's doing that intentionally, but maybe somebody traded a truck and forgot to update, but it keeps everybody on the same page. And it's important both to insure, and you don't want a truck on the road that, oh, we forgot to add that to a policy. Yes. Right. So it's, you know, those 75 data points, they consume then to utilize their algorithms to determine a level of underwriting risk that pertains to that fleet. We also are able to help the producers, the agents, and brokers in providing what we call our fair score. So we take a lot of that information in addition to taking the driver speeding that we have access to through the telematics data, which is about half of that score. But the other half of that score pertains to a lot of the things that I just previously described. And we provide a score then to an agent or a broker that can then take that up the insurance chain levels to say, hey, I've got a carrier here that's at a 720, pretty darn good score on a scale of 850, right? They're doing a lot of things right, blah, blah, blah. And that maybe put them in line for a better insurance program. Or we can report on a fleet that says like a 550, and that may not be a level of risk that an insurance company wants to take on. So it's, I mean, And yeah, because we look at that data across any telematics and we normalize that, we're able to report on any fleet with basically one of our, I think we're up to 102 now integrations with telematics providers. So if your company had somebody from Trimble, somebody from Geotab, somebody from, you know, whoever, we can still provide that data regardless of the provider and provide it to you in a normalized way and still yes, issue a fair score for each one of those fleets.
It makes sense. I mean, insurance, it's all about risk. Is your risk high or low? And when they look at location, like you were saying, you know, if their hub is, you know, when you think of an insurance hat on, you know, okay, insurance sees your fleet is in this mega city. You're going to have higher risk because if you're 150 air mile radius and you're around that major city, there's more risk there than say a rural location. So yeah, I mean, they look at all of this information. And so it's very, very valuable seeing the speeding data, location data, and again, making sure all that information is up to date as best as possible. So underwriters get the best information to give you the most affordable rate at the time. So it makes total sense. And then when you think about the larger the fleets go, then you have captive insurance where you're doing, you got a little bit more control of the insurance process, but yeah, very, very fascinating. And then, so you talk a lot about safety and compliance. So a lot of my audience watching the podcast are tend to be smaller fleets, up to like 50, maybe 100 drivers. And of course, when we're thinking about some of the big fleets using the technology, it's a lot of data. But even the smaller fleets, I mean, you might have one or two people that's looking at this data, and it's just like there's no way to really, you know, for them to truly handle it. That's why there's programs like, I believe SpeedGauge has Gauge My Fleet, or is it Gauge My Truck? And then, you know, driver scorecards. I mean, that's huge, just with your telematics data, whatever telematic provider you use, but like a driver scorecard. I'm curious, those different types of safety programs or policies that are being in place, what do you tend to recommend that tends to work for fleets?
Oh, goodness. One, setting up a policy and procedure that you keep in place and you remain consistent.
Yeah.
Totally. So if you have rules, for example, about if you're using an inward camera and you have rules about cell phone, for example, maybe it's a three and you're out, right? Well, yep, you better have record of that third time and you better have record of that termination, because that will come back to absolutely haunt you if you have a policy in place and you didn't follow it, right? I've also seen companies that have absolutely positively elected to not use the inward facing and made statements, for example, like, and I, by the way, I'm a firm believer of this. It really impacted me when I heard this the first time, but I had an old customer of mine turn the inward facing camera off, and he simply stated, I've never had an inward facing video that exonerated a driver. Pretty impactful, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely the truth. Now, we as, you know, safety managers, we're consumed with, we want to know what happened.
Yeah.
But you also have to know that, Joe Schmo just ran into my tandems, and I happened to be holding my monster and one wheel on the wheel at the same, you know, wheel at the same time. Well, guess what the plaintiff attorney immediately takes issue with? That the driver wasn't doing everything possible to put themselves in a position to possibly avoid what just happened. Were they really paying attention? And I know it's kind of a cheesy example, but quite honestly, I was involved in a case where one of the primary focuses was the driver had a big gulp in his right hand and was driving with one hand. And it was clear that it was the other driver's fault. Well, one could argue without that data, you wouldn't be addressing it at all.
Right.
You would be addressing the fact that in from the side and the lights exposed up front showing the driver had the green light and somebody smacked you here. That information in itself is pretty clear cut, and there's no other data available to muddy the water.
Right.
Now, I also want to make this statement. I understand the data of an inward facing camera and how it can help change a behavior of a driver that may have a repetitive issue, either with a cell phone, either maybe they're driving a little bit tired. But that's where a company has to have that policy in place. If they're going to have that, then you have to have policies to address drowsy driving. You have to have policies that address cell phone usage or non-seatbelt. You know, ever since the no seatbelt infraction became a big deal, 40-50% of videos that get created are because a heavy set driver didn't have a seatbelt on because it wasn't comfortable. And companies out there say that that's an egregious thing to do, making that driver a higher level of risk. Well, when you look at the ATRI data, that only drivers that have seatbelt violations are only 4-7% more likely to have a collision based on the data that they look at. To me, it's a little bit difficult to make an argument that, is it a comfort issue or is it an egregious driver issue?
For sure.
So, but that's as a company, you just have to think all of that information through. You know, when you look at some of the camera events that are available, companies, let's just say I have 60 events that you can check to see that you want. Very quickly, you will find that over 50% of those are created by an inward facing camera.
Right.
Now, if I was a safety manager and I was getting a dozen no seatbelt a day that I really should look at, but then when I look at what the driver was doing forward facing and I see that he or she is within their lane, they're not speeding, they're not tailgating, they're not doing anything from a driving risk, that's a video that I had to look at because I chose to use an inward facing camera, but yet my driver, technically speaking, was not doing anything risky at the time. He just made a bad decision. And I'll say that, right? It's against the law not to have your seatbelt. I get it. But how does that directly relate to driving risk? But it is data that I guarantee you, when that driver unfortunately gets in an accident next week, the first thing you're going to get subpoenaed is for the 6-month history on that driver. And they're going to look at everything. And they're going to pick and choose things that were never addressed or were addressed lightly. And they're going to build this story of this history of this driver is that, well, maybe regardless of fault here, let's just say it's the other guy's fault. They're going to say, well, maybe this driver shouldn't have been working for you based on everything else we see. You should have fired him 2 months ago.
Yep. Well, and that makes a great point because, you know, we were, you know, conversations around policies in general, and they're going to look at the driver first. Is there any issue? That includes driver files and stuff from their past. Then they're going to look at the company. Do you have, are you doing what the regulations state? Okay, well, but there's better stuff out there. There's software, there's tools out there. You should be not doing the bare minimum. You should be doing the industry standard. If you're not doing that, they're going to manipulate that to, you know, affect, you know, the outcome of litigation. And that's where, like you said, policies are so important, where you got to keep things consistent. And you, whether that's, you know, three strikes, you're out, to the positive reward systems in place to get people on board with a lot of this, to, okay, a lot of the data is triggering something that's repetitive. Okay, what kind of, is it video training or driver training to keep you, you know, do you have a certificate that, okay, I checked out this video and I'm going to do better XYZ, whatever the issue is that's being tracked.
Are you ready? CNS Learning Hub has made it their business to ensure you can confidently answer yes at any stage of the game for all of your professional development and confidence needs in the transportation, construction, manufacturing, medical, and educational industries. For learning to change employee behavior needs to be clear, engaging, and easy to access. Much of the training available in the marketplace is bland and cumbersome. The CNS Training Development Team sets a far higher standard, the one that we believe you deserve. Your needs are unique and you shouldn't have to compromise on services meant to keep your business at its growing edge. For that reason, we offer numerous formats and features that take all the friction out of ongoing professional learning. On-demand e-learning offers the ability for your employees to take courses at a time and location convenient for them. This can be done in one sitting or broken up over multiple sessions. Our services are wanted far and wide, and travel isn't in the cards for all of our clients. Our dedicated media team brings next-level talent to our live streaming services to help our clients join live events, mixed with back-channeling, question and answer, and the feeling that they're right there with us. For a more traditional feel, join us for face-to-face live events in our spacious CNS headquarters classroom. Our instructors carefully consider the delivery format and room setup to maximize every minute of your team's time. Looking for a more customized option, either for a highly specified topic or our experts coming on site to you? Our team of educational professionals will customize a program or course specifically for your company's needs or content and or location. So, are you ready? With CNS, the answer is yes. The focus is your company's performance and the outcome is excellence. Learn more at cnslearninghub.com.
So like all this information, again, it's a lot of the data and it's a lot of information being tracked, but these policies are critical because, it's on the litigation perspective, they're looking at every single angle possible. And that's just when an accident happens. There's so many fleets out there that maybe they don't see an accident, or maybe it's, the big issues that we know are out there that can take down a company, they won't see for years. And so they think, well, I'm not going to spend the money for XYZ now. When ELDs rolled out, how many people were trying to push back, not putting those in the trucks when they were required to do so is crazy. But the mindset is there. And like you said, especially if you think about the freight economy that we're in right now, it's pretty tight, and we're hoping to get back out of it. But that's where, if you get those softwares in place, the programs in place, the data that is created. So you guys, I'm curious, the driver scorecard piece, is it Gauge My Fleet, correct? With that Speed Gauge does. Can you dive into a little bit of what that is?
Yes. So Gauge My Fleet is a free trial subscription of Speed Gauge Safety Center that a fleet can use for 60 days that gives us the opportunity to acquire the data to right. then provide a fair score to an insurance company. So the insurance companies that we work with, their agents can offer the Gauge My Fleet program at yeah. no charge. And okay. it gives us an opportunity to pull their telematics data, give them first, right? We don't just hand it over to the insurance company. And right. we work with that fleet, and let's just pick some numbers, right? It's like, hey, we got your first couple of weeks. You're kind of sitting at a 600. And here's the things we think you can do exactly. to increase that, right? And generally speaking, it's really dealing with the top 10 to 20% of your drivers that yep. show the largest repetitive behavior. And exactly. we report on a percentage of speeding. So we take every breadcrumb that we receive and we look at the posted speed against that. And then we report on the fact that, hey, we got 1,000 breadcrumbs from your trip today, and we found that 44% of those, you were going above posted speed limit. And I'll just share with you that of our 600,000 odd trucks that are out there, our median average is about 8% speeding. So wow. if you've got a driver that is 35, I've seen some that are 44, that's an issue.
Yeah.
But you can quickly then use, so we also give you a tool to say, hey, how you compare to our other subscribers as a fleet, but yep. also as an individual driver, you can be compared to median averages across all the data that we gather, right? So it's exactly. like, hey, Mr. Driver, Luke, all your peers are averaging around 9% and you're at 44. And then we take you through the, hey, here's your 6 to 10s, here's your 11 to 15s, and here's your 16 and overs, right? And we do right. have some fleets that, particularly in hazmat, they even collect the 1 to 5s. Typically, a dry van freight, things like that, we allow them to hide those. We'll still gather the data, but as far yep. as actually talking to the driver, they'll kind of move those 1 to 5s to the curb. It's completely up to the fleet. The fleets that have been with us the longest and are really, really focused on this, they'll turn that back on because now they are addressing those 1 to 5. And Luke, we have some fleets that are doing amazing work. One of my favorites is a fleet up in Canada, and I'll be respectful and won't provide that, but their average is 1.7%. And wow. They weren't satisfied. That was the last 12 months. Their last 12 weeks, they've been able to lower that to 0.72.
Wow.
So literally less than 1% of the time as a fleet. And this is about 1,240 trucks.
Yeah.
So now they've been doing it a while, right? They've been 3+ years with us, but they've been able to manage it at a consistent level to where it's not a lot of work now. They take a look at the drivers that, you know, are always up at that top, because until everybody's zeroed out, there's always some drivers that are your top 10 to 20%, right? But typically speaking, they're only talking to about 5 or 6 drivers a week. And it's friendly reminders because everybody's doing so well, right? So Exactly. In the Gauge My Fleet, you get a very quick snapshot of, hey, here's some guys and gals you need to speak to right away. And as they make a large impact in lowering, and we've seen reduction of 30% in as little as 30 days with the appropriate coaching and talking to. When you see that, then all of a sudden your median average lowers from a 9 to a 4. Wow. Because your top ones,
exactly,
right, are getting rid of your heavy numbers. So then after 60 days, then we're able to provide that score to the agent, and the agent's like, hey, you've done pretty well. We're going to take that to up the ladder to broker and underwriting, and we think we can do this for you.
Very cool. Very cool. And so, you know, you're mentioning the success of a fleet. I know recently you're at Isaac Instruments User Conference in Dallas. And, you know, you guys, of course, were helped with the award parts of it, safety and compliance and driver retention. I'm curious, you know, that conference specifically, there's a lot of, you know, roundtables and discussions on safety and compliance and, you know, the fleet technology that's available these days. What did you take away from that kind of that conference?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure to sponsor that award and to know that both those carriers are customers of ours. And a little bit of a shout out to Guy from Kriska. These are one of the guys that are less than 3% speeding. Right. And when you pull their blue wire data, for example, and look at their violation data, they've had like 2 speeding tickets in the last 2 years. You know, it's just incredible to see that. And when you look at their accident information, and this is, you know, 700 or so trucks, I think, or at least 500, I believe, but they have like 4 accidents in the last 2 years. Incredible. So it's absolutely reflective of the job that they're doing. And then as they spoke about the driver retention, safety is a huge part of that. And knowing that you care as a fleet owner and a fleet manager about that driver returning every trip, that goes a long way. And, you know, I think all the studies that we've ever seen over the years, money's always been in that top 5, but it's always been like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
It's always been about recognition and acknowledging the job that these guys do is absolutely essential to our way of life. And just letting them know that, hey, we really do care about the job you do. We understand how hard it is. And we want to recognize that. But most importantly, we want to keep your butt in the seat. We want you to continue to get a paycheck. And we want you to come home safe after every trip.
Exactly.
And when that's the message and you keep it that the message, then all the stuff that you're trying to talk to that driver about behavior, it's more of a, hey, we really do care about you, and that's why we're talking to you about this. I hate making a conversation about speeding about MPG.
Yep.
Because the minute the driver hears that, it's like, oh, that's just some more money that you want me to save you that you can put in your pocket instead of giving it to me. Well, if you make it about caring about the driver, MPG comes automatically.
Exactly.
When you lower your speed a little bit, the MPG goes up. So why make it about that? Why not make it about something more important that absolutely is associated to the safety of the driver rather than where a margin line is on fuel mileage, because you're going to get that anyway.
Correct. I mean, that's a fantastic point. And I completely agree. Those incentives are so super valuable, and creating that team. And again, it's from the top down. If the CEO is saying that we're focused on that, focus on the drivers, focus on, and then safety becomes a part of that. I mean, that's, it has to come from the top down, because then the drivers will see that. So, we're talking about driver retention. We're talking about safety and compliance. I am curious. So FMCSA last year said that they're going to look at, they're doing a driver retention, detention time survey, and is going to use specific, most of the data from Speed Gauge, and it's a year-long survey of data that they're going to be looking at, which should hopefully be ending now. I'm just curious, how does Speed Gauge, and what's the data that they're looking at potentially for specifically driver detention time?
So it's basically, we're able to see when a trip ends and there's no more breadcrumbs being attached, and then when it starts again.
Right.
So, I'll leave it to my wonderful tech guys, but they're looking for that stop and start and the time that it takes to do that. And we're taking that further, right? We're making sure that the driver didn't leave the parking lot to go next door to go get a hamburger. It's that we're seeing that the driver left and is now continuing on an additional trip, right? So we have an extended period of time when he came to a stop. We now have extended period of time of driving after he came to a stop. And we look at that period of time in between. And I think with ATRI announcing their survey and encouraging all carriers to participate in that, detention is their number one thing on the list right now. And I think with what they glean from what the information that they'll get, it'll be very, very interesting to put an economic factor to that detention, because it is one of the number one issues that they receive from their driver surveys. It's like, let me drive, but when you make me sit for 5 hours.
Yep.
And so I think it'll be really interesting when they bring that forward and it gets published. That should be information that every fleet should carry to their problem receivers and problem shippers to say, I'm not griping at you anymore, but here's the data. Here's what we're seeing. And this is the time that you're consuming of our driver's time that makes us inefficient and unproductive. And I think that way you've got a validation point that can really help make that argument.
Very, very cool. Now, on LinkedIn, I follow you. You do social media posts weekly. I think you're on week 23 right now on safety information. A lot of really, really good posts. I'm curious, discuss sort of what you're doing there with these posts, and what have you learned from doing it over almost 2 years now? Half a year.
I can't tell you I've slowed down, Luke.
yeah, I noticed.
I was known to have a little bit of a heavy foot, and I'm like, you know what? I preach all of this, and I'm really not, walking the walk, I guess, so to speak. But I've started to pay attention to a lot of the things that we engage in a daily basis. Right. We've got a 2016 Suburban, and it's got, it'll show you posted speed, and it brings to life what we do literally on a daily basis. And that is give the fleets the most timely and updated information that's out there. There's a section of I-35 going to Dallas that the truck was telling me I could only go 65, but the sign had been changed to 75.
Yep.
Well, if you're using outdated information, and depending on the telematics provider and the mapping provider on how frequently they're getting the updates, whether or not they're paying for the latest update. And I'm not going to get in deep enough because I probably don't know enough for sure, but it's an example, right? Of when you use your phone, you think everything that's on your phone is the gospel, but it's only based on the last update that you've got. Well, one of the things that makes our company significantly different is the fact that we make validated speed changes that our customers can provide to that, and we'll make that guaranteed within 24 hours. And quite honestly, we're usually averaging 6 to 8. the large mapping providers, like a, well, I don't need to name them, but there's several out there. They may get that same information, but when they get it in, and then actually when they send that update out, is a lot different than that. And that's one of the reasons why we're absolutely the gold standard in the industry. When you're trying to monitor speeding and driving behavior, you're can be very, very confident in the fact that we provide 97.3% posted speed accuracy as it is today, not as it was 2 months ago or at the beginning of the year, as it is today. And I think that's incredibly, incredibly important to put programs together that particularly include safety bonuses and things like that. So, you know, from a technology standpoint, again, we're inundating our fleets with a lot of data, and those fleets need to decide what's really, really important to them and how much of that they can manage.
For sure. For sure. Now, we're going to look into a crystal ball here to, I know we're sort of wrapping up our time here, and I'm curious, you know, the future of whether it's telematics, of data, of management, what's changing, what's coming. I want to go down that road a little bit. And I say that just because really, I mean, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of things happening quickly. And, you know, even with autonomy and that discussion coming down the road, there's a lot there. And I'm just curious what's coming, whether it's from the fleet safety side of things, and data, and what can fleets look forward to if they're getting a grasp on it now, what can they look forward to just being able to go like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited for this next stage.
Yeah. We've absolutely made a focus on ease of use.
Yeah.
So, fleets are more successful if you can make them more operationally efficient. Yeah. And, you know, if any of the vendors pick up on this podcast as well, it's like, take a look at what you're doing and how much you're providing and make it easier for the fleets to manage. Recent conversation with a buddy of mine that manages about 740 trucks. A year ago, they implemented a very good camera system that includes AI. Yep. They are currently dealing with 4,400 videos a week.
Man.
Now, just do the math.
Yeah.
They have a couple of people in safety department. They've openly told me that there's no way they can watch all the videos.
Right.
Well, tell me what's wrong with that statement, right? At a recent conference last year, I sat in a round table and I heard two fleet managers, two safety managers say that they turned their sudden brake alerts off.
Yep.
Because there was too much information. Well, can you imagine sitting in that deposition and saying, yeah, well, Luke, can you explain to me that on such and such a date why you guys chose to turn off one of your safety solutions that you invested in? And so I think as vendors, we have to be conscientious of the fact that we have absolutely wonderful data. I'm not knocking any product that's out there, and product managers and engineers are brilliant in bringing things to market, but you've got to be able to use them and manage them to be successful. And so Going forward, we have to focus on that. And companies need to be cognizant of the fact that I've got to be able to manage what I'm buying to make it successful and to get the return on investment that I'm looking for. Economy, you mentioned it earlier, super tight. There's folks that are looking for a few dollars per truck per month that they might be paying for a subscription, and they're deciding, can I afford to turn that off to drop a few more dollars to the bottom line? Am I willing to do that? Well, one of my buddies, and this is more on a personal note, he's using an inward facing camera. I said, well, take a look at the benefit, right? Take a look at the amount of work you're having to do to manage that. Can you get some time back by turning that off? And can you go back to your provider and say, hey, you're not consuming as much data anymore because I want these off. I'd like you to take a look at my plan. And can you save me a few dollars a month? I'm not saying that's what anybody should do by any means, but we're seeing those type of things in a very, very tight economy. And you've got to ask yourself, am I prepared to make that change? Does it make sense for me? but does it gain me operationally efficiency and at the same time save me a few dollars in the process? If we as vendors don't start paying attention to that and help our fleets through these type of economic tight times that we're absolutely in, and by the way, Bob Costello just confirmed that at the Isaac UC, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't say that we're in a recession, but we're in a very tight time right now in trucking.
Yeah.
And he feels like that some of the little guys are either going to be, you know, scooped up or yep. may not, you know, stay in business because of these tight times, because the spot market's just crazy. Those with yeah. contracts, much better shape. But the spot market, guy can hardly make any money on that now. So yeah. we have got to be cognizant as vendors of providing solutions. We've got to be cognizant of that. And I'm not telling every vendor out there to drop their prices because I know what stuff costs. I've been in it a long time. But make sure that you're providing value for the dollar that you want to charge. And make sure that your fleet can be successful being able to use it.
And so for fleets that are listening today, so Speed Gauge is, the data is used in a lot of different vendors that are out there. How do fleets today, if they want to take advantage of Speed Gauge data and what you guys offer, where should they go to look for it?
Well, it's probably pretty easy just to go to our website and do an yeah. inquiry. And it based on their relationship with their telematics provider, we will either direct them to them where Perfect. That telematics provider can provide them as a reseller to us, or if needed, we can actually bill them directly as well. We're more than happy to do either, but we have great relationships with our telematics providers. And if they are a current reseller of us, yep. then we can direct them back and tell them, hey, yes, so-and-so is a reseller. We'd ask you to reach out directly to them and ask them about their Speed Gauge program.
Very cool. Now, I know something you mentioned at the beginning, and it's more for the recent news. You mentioned sort of the union in transportation, and you know, we had the port strike that was happening potentially again in January. I'm just curious the union perspective in the transportation industry. You know, a lot of truckers throughout the years, especially when the ELDs were rolling out, moaned constantly about, you know, wanting to stop trucks. What would happen if all the trucks stopped, right? And taking that seriously. I'm just curious your perspective on unions in the transportation industry and how it can be beneficial.
So being a participant in that in a short time of my career.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I never felt like I was getting anything for my monthly fees that I paid. Now, that's a personal opinion. All right, yeah. Let's keep that clear. In dealing with unions, both from a video and safety perspective and being in those boardrooms of those guys making sure and telling us, hey, this is going to be a concern. This is not going to work. The one thing that the data does that you can provide is it takes all the gray area away.
Right.
If you work with your union officials, shop foreman, whatever is your situation, and say, look, we want to set up a fair criteria for both parties.
Exactly.
But then let's understand that if we have a three and out rule for this particular thing, we're going to provide you the data. We're going to show you all the documentation. And then there won't be an argument about what has to happen to that individual because we have the data that shows it. So once right. again, with clear-cut policies, it actually makes that process a lot easier because everybody has the data. You don't get accused by the union of, well, so-and-so just doesn't like Jim, mm-hmm. but he yep. loves Luke, right? And he's showing favoritism. No, you have data in front of you on both drivers. And that way you're able to provide that to your shop foreman or union official and say, look, here's the information we're getting. And by the way, you can also go to that individual and say, look, we need a little help from you. We've talked to so-and-so twice. He just doesn't seem to be getting it, or she just doesn't seem to want to cooperate. But here's the data. Would you mind reminding them of what's been agreed on? And I think it's actually settled a lot of that argument and discussion
exactly.
down. Because you're able to provide the information. It's not he said, she said anymore, particularly on accidents. right?
Yeah.
If you're using video and you've got telematics information to show what the driver was doing, right? How was the clutch engaged? Was cruise on? Was the foot pedal? How far was it down? Was the brake engaged? I mean, you've got all that. Plus, if you've got the video, it's like, no, he kind of messed up here. You need to understand that we're considering that a preventable, and that's either a check mark or depending on the severity, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So no. I think it's actually made it easier. But once again, I think you got to have policies in place that both parties agree to, that they understand this is how we're measuring it, and that we've both agreed to that measuring tool, and that's how we're moving forward.
That's fantastic. And I agree. Like, again, it sort of all stems down to how are fleets, unions, anybody, it's the policies, it's the implementation, and then it's making sure that you follow those rules in place. It makes everybody's life easier. Insurance seeing that going, it makes sense. Okay. Litigation sees it. Okay. If you're following the rules, I'm happy. You know, every
Absolutely.
Perspective of that.
Yep.
Fantastic. Yep. You know, honestly, I think with that, we could probably move on to just sort of what should fleets, again, we can sort of wrap up here, but like, what should fleets think about and take away? Any other pieces that we are missing? Anything other parts that you want to hit? I know specifically, you know, what your role is. What's your next couple of months look like?
Well, October was a whirlwind with conferences. Everybody kicked back in. I think I was actually, well, counting tomorrow being gone, I think I was actually home 7 days for the month.
Wow.
So November nicely slows down a little bit. So we'll be focusing a little bit more on what we're doing to enhance our services and our products. You know, I talk regularly with our telematics, as my title says, partners, right?
Yep.
To see what we can do to enhance their products. And, you know, a lot of times we're seeing now definitely a transition to the telematics providers utilizing our data and pulling it into their UI so that the customers have one place to log in and they
yes.
can see all their data, right? And they can still be assured that the posted speed data that's being utilized is the best in the business. And I think that's important for the telematics providers to be able to assure them of that, particularly if that's what they've been used to. And in particular, we've seen some churn, right? So there's new players
right.
out there, and we've seen some of the old timers, they've elected to switch and go to some of the newer technology and stuff. And, you know, there's some good things about those, and there's some things that are more of a checkbox type solution. And I think companies need to be very, very cautious in how they utilize that. They should compare the data to what they've been used to using, if it was successful and working for them. So I think, you know, I think that's most importantly, throughout the winter, whatever, we'll be, as I said, working on our product, working on the relationships we have with insurance companies. We have been talking a lot to our buddies at Blue Wire that are doing some pretty incredible things with all the public data that's available, comparing those specific to the 9 areas of the reptile theory, right?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, I think insurance is really starting to look at that as well. And so we've been expanding our conversations with them is how can we provide each other data that makes that even more impactful to an insurance
yes.
company to be able to rank risk of a fleet and provide benefit to the fleets that are doing the right thing. And
yeah.
and we can show by the data that they are doing the right thing and that they do have the things in place and they are actually managing those. And we've all seen what's happened to insurance costs over the last 5 years. We've
sure.
seen more carriers, smaller companies that are getting involved in captives, or they're even,
yep.
man, they're putting money in an escrow account and they're saying, nope, we're just going to be self-insured and try to manage it ourselves. And it's pretty scary for, you know, when you see 100, 150 truck fleets that are doing that, where normally they typically would have just wrote a policy,
right.
They're taking on a lot. So it's going to be important that they're managing to that as well.
Totally. I see the future of captives, group captives going down to 50, 40, maybe 30 fleets.
Yes.
That's coming. And so, yeah, the data and the management of it is so crucial
yep.
for sure. Yep. Great point. Great point. All right. So where can people find you, Jim, and SpeedGage? SpeedGage.com, I believe, right?
Yep. Yep. Pretty easy. We also, we did a little bit of a name change, the DDN, the Driven Data Network, .com as well. You can find us there, and that speaks really more to our platform and how we share information between telematics providers and insurance companies. Of course, we do that all with the appropriate permissions. So you can find that. And as you mentioned, I'm maybe on LinkedIn a little bit more than I should be, but quite honestly, I think speeding has been taken for granted now. I do. I think it's so common out there that it's not being addressed at a level that it should be. And I don't mean to extend our time, but even when you think about the technology that's on the vehicle, for example, collision mitigation systems, one of my slides, one of my weeks that was a few weeks back, specifically states how those don't operate 100% like they're supposed to unless the drivers engage. And by the way, if the driver's going faster than he or she is supposed to, the system can't work as efficiently as it does when a driver is doing and driving the appropriate speed based on conditions. Once again, I'm not going to get hung up on that speed limit sign, because a lot has to do with those systems don't work as well in fog, in snow, in rain, because the LIDAR and radar cannot work as efficiently on a clear, sunny day. But once again, if you take those precious seconds of reaction time for the driver in that system to react, then that system, you know, we've all seen the numbers. If you think about the technology we have on the trucks right now, why aren't accidents going down?
Yeah.
I think you could make an argument that it's actually made our drivers a little less effective because they think that's going to save them because they've got this technology on board with them. And I think you have to think really, really hard about what you're telling your drivers. And like I said, going back to it, that's why I just thought it was important to try to get information back out there is, look, speeding is important, and more or less managing that speed to current conditions on the road that you're driving in keeps you safer, keeps those around you safer.
Makes sense. And I love it. Thank you so much for joining me, Jim, today. If you have any questions for Jim, you can let him know down in the comments below. We'll pass them along and make sure that information pops up as well in the video. And if you have questions or you just want to get started in learning more, whether it's fleet safety, licensing, and other things, you can go to SpeedGage, but you can also go to cnsprotects.com. We can get you started in some of those pieces as well. Depending on the size of your fleet, we want to just get you up and be as safe as possible and get you on the road to being compliant and then being proactive in that compliance. But again, Jim, thank you so much for joining me today. And as always, stay safe out there.